It is time for another journey deep into the lining of the magical talking hat. Hat wranglers Tony and William reach into the yawning chasm that is the hat and pull forth the questions you have posed. Will they tire of your question quickly? Is your name Azhatalin? Then perhaps they will, but then perhaps not. But that will remain a mystery until we venture into the magical talking hat.
Okay, here we go.
Yeah?
I wanted to see how long I could take that last. Hello, and welcome to the Magical Talking Hat Podcast, the only podcast in the world that was originally going to be named Mouse Fart. Luckily, we had the producer, and we brought it up to her, and she's like, why would it be called that? And we ultimately couldn't really give a good reason, and she's like, what's it about? And we're like, well, it's a magical hat of talking. She's like, why don't you name it? So, yeah, she saved us a lot of trouble, is what I'm saying. It was obvious once she explained it.
The problem, though, was that, as people who have listened for a long time know, this podcast was originally called Lots of Things.
That is true.
And we eliminated those based on all kinds of other reasons.
Yeah.
So when we finally arrived at Mouse Fart, I was like, this is it.
Yeah, no, at that point, we were like...
Yeah, we'd worked really hard on that.
It's statistically impossible that we picked another wrong name.
That's right. That's exactly right.
As surprising as that name is.
In fact, we didn't even go to the producer originally to ask if it was a good name. We just said, oh, we figured it out. We worked really hard. We brainstormed. We eliminated all these stupid names. It's Mouse Fart. And then we went on to talk about other things. She immediately interrupted us and said, wait. Back up.
And it was just one of those moments because we're both like, nothing. And then we both turned to each other like, you go. And
yeah.
Then,
yeah.
And we didn't know.
Yeah, we didn't know. It was so bizarre. What happens with a lot of projects is you focus so much on eliminating certain other things that you don't really think about. You think about what you don't want it to be. You forget to think about what you want it to be.
We were too inside.
Yeah.
We needed, We eyes on the prize that you missed.
Yeah, that's right. We should have brought her into the process earlier.
It felt right.
Oh, yeah. I mean, we didn't even think.
Anybody pointed out anything.
I mean, I'm sure a lot of people listening think, like the producer did, like, why would you even think that?
It sounds stupid to me now,
too. Yeah, exactly. You really...
Like, seconds after
she said that. Then we figured it out.
But at the time, we were in a zone. It fit in that zone.
Yep.
You just can't explain it now.
Yep, that's right. So that just goes to show. Yeah. You know, you really need to make sure... You get input from the outside. Right at the front.
Critique, yeah. Anyway, so welcome to Mouse Fart, episode number...
74.
But you dropped 100 off of there.
174.
Yes.
It's the 74 was the part I had to remember, and
because I haven't said I'm Tony.
That's true, but also because for some reason the number 74 is hard for me to remember.
All right, then.
I don't know why. But I was really kind of nervous about getting over here and forgetting 74. But I believe it's 174.
Hey, we found Ezzy. I'm Tony.
And I'm William.
And he thinks it's episode 174.
I'm pretty sure.
We're seriously not going to look. So you'll know. By the time it comes up, the episode title will have the right number. Anyway, for those of you just joining us, William and I have a hat. It's magic in that it has its own email address. themagicaltalkinghat@gmail.com. Once again, that is themagicaltalkinghat@gmail.com. People, not unlike yourselves, but in some ways just a little bit better than yourselves, write into that email address with comments, questions, topics, that sort of thing. The hat magically on its own transmogrifies those emails into little note cards with the information written on them that manifest physically within the hat. We draw out those note cards at random, read what's on them, talk about them till we're bored, do that for about an hour. That's the whole show.
Yep.
So
we just look in the hat and there the cards are.
Get into it. Ezzy's also here, but she's being good at the moment. so, William, how was your week?
It was good. We finally started watching Batman the Animated Series. You know, that's like 22 years old, the first ones. And so I started thinking, why has it been so long, you know, for me to actually watch these? And I realized, well, you know, I didn't have a TV for a really long time. But then when I did, it wasn't exactly one of those things you go to the video store and rent, you know. No. You might not find it there.
Long-running half-hour series especially didn't get a lot of
right, and I wasn't going to buy it. So really, Netflix had to come along. And now Netflix has been around for a little while, but there have been all kinds of things in the last few years that have prevented me from being able to get it from them, and they didn't have it immediately either. So this is probably the first opportunity in 20-some years that I've had to actually watch it. And I love it. It's like the best Batman ever, Batman the Animated Series, which I'm not surprised I think that because, you know, over 20 years, you start to learn a little bit about something. I even played a video game, a PS2 video game, based on the characters in the series, and I loved that. So,
well, you shouldn't be surprised.
I'm not surprised.
It spawned a lot of Batman series afterwards that probably would not have happened had it not been released.
No, yeah, that's right. Well. So, well, but also...
There was a lot of, remember Batman the Animated Series? Let's try and do that. I mean, a lot of right. ones that had little different flavors, but that's basically what...
Well, actually, before it ever came to the house, I decided, you know, I'm going to sit down and just sort of list out the things that I like in a Batman story. Just out of curiosity, because I'd never really thought about that before. And, you know, there were a lot of things that I think I mentioned some of these before. Like, I don't like Gotham to be completely hopeless and corrupted. That's just this dark, horrible place. Which Grant Morrison said that about Gotham, too. He doesn't like Gotham to be...
I find that very like, surprising from Grant Morrison.
I like Bruce and Batman to have a little humor, you know? It can still be not silly, but just not a downer and depressing all the time. And
absolutely.
And not getting along with, you know... I want Batman to get along with people and
I
like them.
Got half a chuckle out of that one. Come on.
Let's see. What else? Just a number of things. Like, I like the whole gangster angle. Like, he's always fighting mobsters, you know. Either they're just normal mobsters, or if you want to up the psychological part of the story, then you get Joker and you get Penguin and you get all these other guys who are just crazy mobsters, really. I like other bad guys that are just like him, regular people, except, you know,
an extra face.
Whatever. I mean, just a number of things. And this show is all those things. The one thing I like in a Batman story that I think I did mention this on the podcast. The one thing I like in a Batman story that's really hard to find is where people are still afraid of him. Like, and the crooks still don't quite know what he is. And sometimes the animated series does that and sometimes it doesn't. But, for the most part, it's like, spot on, and I really like it. Now, another thing I like about it is, you know, the whole Mr. Freeze story where his wife is in stasis or whatever. That's their invention. Before that, Freeze didn't have that backstory.
Really?
Yeah.
Interesting.
And I like it.
They also invented Harley Quinn, right?
Right, they invented Harley Quinn, but I like that. I don't usually like when they do things like that to a character, like. In modern age, but
Mr. Freeze is a stupid villain.
Well, and I think he was on purpose a stupid, you know, he's kind of a joke villain back in the Silver Age or whatever.
But he immediately becomes a throwaway to me until you do that. And I'm like, okay, now there's some
character. Very interesting. I also like that Poison Ivy is just a regular, like she originally was created as a regular person who is obsessed with plants and just poisons people. She doesn't have this weird
and
supernatural thing going on.
And I think for the time period and for what is ultimately mostly still a kids show, I really liked what they did with Harley and Ivy and their relationship. They have a whole episode dedicated to it.
Well, she hasn't been, Harley's not been introduced yet because I've just started watching, but I am kind of looking forward to how that emerges and evolves.
Yeah, and that is, like I said, I mean, you know, you do things, don't put the cart before the horse. And for the time, that had some very empowering stuff going on.
Well, and I
was intriguing and just sort of it was new territory narratively as well.
I look forward to seeing it because right now, you know, we're playing Arkham City, which you know, it's funny because the person voicing Batman is still the guy that voiced in the animated series, and the person voicing Joker the same. And there are a lot of, you can see the influence of the animated series, not just in those two voice actors, but in everything in this game, which otherwise is nothing like the animated series. But Harley's in it, of course, and she's a terrible character in this game as far as I'm concerned.
I kind of liked her in Asylum, but you didn't get far enough to deal with her.
Here's the thing about Harley in this game, and kind of generally, if you don't know much about her, she almost seems like all of the worst female stereotypes in one character. Mm-hmm. She's got a codependent relationship on a guy who's abusive toward her, and she still worships him. I mean, that's already problematic. But like in the game, there's a point where you're Batman and you just beat this boss, and you're moving forward, and she's tied up, kind of down the hallway. She's like tied up, and she's got tape over her mouth and everything. And you're thinking, well, this has got to be some kind of trap or whatever. But no, you rip the tape off of her face, and apparently Joker tied her up there so she could give you a little piece of information, and then you would be on your way. So she's literally a signpost in this game. And that happens a few times, and you know, yes, this isn't so much the character's fault. This is how the character's being handled. But I have seen, what I have seen of Harley kind of follows this pattern of she's kind of the abused, you know, that she's the typical woman who falls for the bad guy and who's abused by that guy but still loves him. And there's got to be more of the character than that, or I can't imagine that she would be that popular.
Part of the thing, at least for me, because I absolutely acknowledge that stuff, but part of what I think tips that and makes it, dare I say, satire, is that the guy is Joker.
Well, that's true.
And she was a psychologist.
Yeah.
So, A, you lend in this intriguing level of, I forget what the technical term is, but the essentially attracted to the crazy, specifically.
Yeah.
I mean, because that's what he embodies. But then there's also the ridiculous, like, okay, so you're in this abusive relationship and you're swooning over the clown guy? and there's almost like it would somehow be creepier, and that's the thing, Joker's incredibly creepy, but somehow that relationship would be so much worse if it was Ra's al Ghul or just a gangster or something.
Well,
like that. There's a weird element of that.
Yeah.
And I think when she gets to shine is when she essentially, when she's solo, she's a variant of the Joker's kind of thing. And of course, I find the Joker fascinating.
Yeah.
And she's a variant of that, and I think she's a variant that skews female and skews younger in terms of attitude.
Gotcha.
And that can be really fun.
Yeah.
But you're right. Then suddenly you get other weird things going on, and it can be weird, but that's, like I said, I like to feel like it pushes just barely into satire, and I say that knowing that's such an apologist.
Yeah, well.
Goddamn anything.
Well.
But I feel that a little bit, but you are, I mean, it's still problem, people need to be aware.
Yeah.
Because again, the satire only works if you know it's satire.
Yeah. Well, and as far as Joker goes, I mean, come on, it's one of the best Jokers ever. You know,
well, and it's fucking Luke Skywalker.
It's just amazing performance, really.
It's the thing that suddenly you're like, you don't necessarily just think of him as Luke Skywalker.
Yeah.
Like, that's the one thing. And it turns out, basically all the time, he's a voice actor. Even before the Joker, he hit real big with that. His career background, he does voice.
No, voice
actor. He idolized them growing up. Like, it was a very different thing. The Star Wars thing was kind of a fluke.
Yeah.
And he's just, it's amazing.
Oh, he's really good. I mean, not just a Joker, but all the voices he does. I mean, can't even tell that, you know.
But I gotta give him a lot of credit. I think he has almost added more than just about anybody to the Joker's
absolutely
personality.
I agree. He's
so many things now you're going to trace back to that.
He's funny and he's creepy and he's everything. I mean, it's like, this is a great Joker character, probably the best.
He's an absolute lunatic in clown makeup, and he's believable.
Yeah.
Which is almost impossible to do with the Joker. It's been done a couple times prior.
Yeah.
Because the Joker's one of the most ridiculous villain concepts ever. Yeah. It's so stupid.
Yeah.
And, you know, Miller gets some credit. Other people get some credit. But I think a lot of what cemented it was that voice and that performance.
No, I agree. And so, yeah, really enjoying it. Another thing I don't like is I don't like that Penguin has, like, three fingers.
Oh, goddamn.
I don't like that stuff. But the character itself is okay. So, I mean, so far, that it really is probably my favorite
it's
Batman.
It's very rare that I say this about Batman villains, but give me Burgess Meredith any day. He's always been my favorite Penguin. Of course, it is rare that I say that because he didn't play any other Batman villains, so it would be weird to say it. You know, Joker, give me Burgess Meredith. You know, Bane, give me Burgess Meredith any day.
No, but like I say, I'm really it's probably my favorite Batman so far. Now, don't get me wrong. I like the modern age, you know, seriously hard-hitting psychological stuff that you get after, you know, 1985, and I collect the comics I collected were that, and I loved it. Some of my favorite stories are in there, but in a more general sense, I still always like there to be kind of a psychological, some psychological content in Batman, but it doesn't have to be so hard hitting, and it can still be kind of deep and rich.
You
even
can do both, and the animated series prove that,
and I love that
because usually you either go kind of shallow, kidsy, or goddamn Dark Knight Returns.
It was really well. It's a really well balanced show. I mean, I love the Golden Age look. I love the Silver Age themes. I love
it
the Bronze Age sensitivity.
You'll find as you go on, it twists. Because I think I watched a lot of this when it was originally aired. I was at the right age. It tips a lot back and forth. Certain episodes will be more cute.
Yeah. Well, that's already happened. There's a Christmas episode that's just hilarious.
Well, and the one I always talk about, the Harley Quinn Poison Ivy one, in a lot of ways, it's more jokey.
Mm-hmm.
Just in that the way they set up the premise makes it a little bit that way. But especially because there's nothing to compare it to. It's a tremendous message built into it. But it's a fun, silly one.
Yeah, sure. Well, that's fine. I mean, I don't have a problem with that.
No, and the fact that they can ride both ends is amazing.
Yeah.
That's not a phrase, ride both ends. That shouldn't be a phrase. That's terrible. I apologize to everyone. Also, I need to start adding into my thing that beginning of each episode, part of my spiel about what the episode is, we're going to talk about a superhero cartoon for 20 minutes. Seriously, like the last month.
Well, that's because I started watching these things. And then the other half of the week...
Somehow you do one a week.
Oh, well. The rest of the week I spent being really angry about what DC Comics is doing with Wonder Woman. And
I don't know about this. I finally heard that she supposedly is officially getting a movie. Like her own.
Well, the new 52 Wonder Woman is terrible.
Oh, really?
Yeah. Mm. You didn't know?
I know very little about the new
I don't want to spoil anything for anybody, but I will say this much. A lot of people had abandoned it by issue 7. There was this terrible revelation in issue 7 that made a lot of people abandon it. But by issue 31, something else happens. And essentially what's going on is, and it's clear this was planned from the very beginning of the run, they're taking a critical element away from Wonder Woman's identity and her world. Not erasing it. It's still there, but they're ruining it, is what I'm saying, so that they can take it out and nobody will miss it.
Everybody can see the jet, right? She's the only one.
No, it's not that. It's something that's so important, so critical to her identity that you might... I mean, it would be the same as if you took Bruce Wayne and his parents were never killed and they're drug lords or something. I mean, it's that dramatic, but apparently DC thinks that this is a part of her story that's kind of been holding her back and they need to get rid of it so that they can write... No, this is like a...
I've got theories.
This is a...
You'll have to tell me afterwards because I'm significant. Sure I'm never gonna read it.
If you take this away, it's not a Wonder Woman title. In a way, the way I feel about it is, you know, before New 52, they made a big deal how they were technically canceling all of these books and then starting over. Well, Wonder Woman was canceled, and they never started it up again. They just had this whole new story. It's not even in the superhero genre. It's urban fantasy, and they're just slapping the name Wonder Woman on it. It has nothing to do with Wonder Woman.
They call it Wonder Woman, the Phantom Menace.
But
I'm nailing jokes here, and you're giving me nothing.
The story.
Come on, everybody could see the jet. All these, that's hilarious. Come on. Only she thought it was.
Why do I have to laugh at it? Let the audience laugh.
I can't hear them. They're too quiet. Laugh louder.
But yeah, it's a disgrace. And it makes me a little bit angry because, yeah, it's a comic book. So what is there to get angry about? Well, because, you know, because I'm a feminist, that's why. And because I feel like young girls get the shaft when it comes to having role models and things like that. And to take one that was already not being treated very well for the last 70 years and then take the one thing away that made it great, it's like...
Yeah,
no, it's a betrayal.
And it sucks when somebody ruins something you love.
No, that's true, but I mean, I think as someone who has at least attempted to raise a girl to womanhood, I know how important these things are, and it's really crushing that they just are going to wad this up and throw it away like it's nothing, like it doesn't mean anything to anybody. And there are a lot of excuses for it, like. You know, one thing that's often said about Wonder Woman is she just doesn't have this easy little story you can tell, like with Batman and Superman. You know, Batman's parents were killed. Now he's going to fight crime, and Superman's an alien from, you know, and the people in the Midwest raise him, but he has these superpowers. But Wonder Woman doesn't have anything like that, so it's so hard to write for her and all this stuff. And I've heard a lot of people say that. Even people who are writing in feminist blogs say this. Like, well, this is why it's hard. But it's not true.
She's got a story.
A story that's it's gold. You know, the whole Amazon thing. And they had to flee to an island because they couldn't... Because the world of men didn't want to have anything to do with them. And so some gods that felt sorry for them gave them powers. I mean, all of this stuff is really neat. And she was made of clay and all this stuff. And brought to life magically. I mean, this is good stuff. You can really do something with this. But... ever since Marston died, people who look at it like, and they're baffled. And I don't know why, except either they're sexist or they're afraid that their audience is too sexist to get it. And so they've barely done anything with it. A few writers have, but in all this time, hardly anyone's done anything with it. And there's no excuse. There's nothing wrong with the story. But I think DC's line and a lot of DC apologists' line is, oh, yeah, the story is really difficult and hard, so maybe we should take some elements out of the original story and that'll free it up and we can start writing things. But they ruined it.
Dangerously close to spoiling the thing you're trying to
do. I know, I'm sorry. But it made me really angry. And that's why I spent most half of the week being really excited about Batman animated series and the other half being really angry about Wonder Woman in the comic books, but whatever. And your week.
If you'd like to talk about this Wonder Woman stuff because you actually know what he's talking about, go on the blog and do it, but make big sure that you put in your comments something that says spoiler or whatever, because I'm sure there's people who care. Not me, oddly, but normally I do. So go to the blog, themagicaltalkinghat.com, and talk about it with people. Probably not me, but other people. Jazz, definitely. William, almost certainly. Sometimes other people.
But yeah, talk about
Mark
your...
Mark in a couple weeks.
Talk about your week, because I've already taken too much time again.
There's not too much. Had I finished the new Dresden book last time?
Yeah, I think you had.
Well, I still haven't finished.
Oh, okay.
Getting closer and closer on Skyrim. I'm just into the final DLC pretty seriously. I've abandoned the rest of the stuff, so. But that's been going on for too long. A lot of changes at work. A lot of stress from work. Stress from the gym. So I don't know that I have a lot else. We are almost done with the first Dresden Files being read to the producer. We're hoping to finish that this weekend.
Really?
Yeah, no, for date night we came back here and read. I don't know what to talk about.
Just a lot of Batman for me. Well, and being angry about Wonder Woman.
Spider-Man. All right, then let's have this.
Okay. It's been fun to get back into DC stuff again. I didn't realize I missed it so much.
What is wrong with you, cat?
This is from Azure Talon.
How many exclamation points?
Three.
Oh, of course.
Dear dissonant and confused forced voices of the Magical Talking Hat, what do you think of the practice of dumpster diving at supermarkets for discarded but still technically safe and packaged food? I didn't know anyone did that.
Well, I knew people dumpster dove for their food, so they're generally
yeah, but usually at restaurants and
freegans.
Stuff.
Freegans.
They're what?
They're called freegans, like vegan, but it's free food.
To find things like this.
Well, that would make sense.
Okay.
You go like the cup of noodles that was expired a day before, so technically they have to throw it out. Go pick up that stuff.
Well, I thought they just reduce the price and put it in a bin in front of the store and let you decide if you want to buy it.
Yeah, but maybe not everybody buys that either. So eventually,
it
has to be disposed.
I suppose if there are people who do this, that's probably a. I mean, they're getting, like you said, they're getting the food for free. There's nothing wrong with it. So, it seems like they could, if they're just going to throw the food out and allow people to go through the dumpster, they could donate it to someplace.
I'm guessing there's regulations about it.
Because it's expired or whatever.
Yeah. Because the FDA has said, in any official capacity, you can only eat it to this point. And what we do in the privacy of our homes, they can't stop me from drinking the milk that expired. But they can say nobody's allowed to sell it or whatever. When I think I've told this story before. I don't know why. I really love this story. And it's not that interesting story. And it doesn't paint me in a good light. But for some reason, I like it. When I worked at a Casey's General Store, which is a convenience store with a pizza kitchen in it, but there's a lot of gas stations around here. You won't find them outside the Midwest. In fact, outside a certain part of the Midwest. I worked there for a summer, making donuts, making pizzas. And I was the breakfast guy. And so, among other things, I made basically croissant breakfast sandwiches. And, croissant with bacon or cheese and a little
sure.
egg thing and that. And put them in little plastic things and stuck them in the little display. And on the bottom of them, I had to use a label maker and put the time within the nearest quarter of the hour that I had made them.
Mm-hmm.
Because after a certain amount of time, I want to say 2 hours, I don't know. Regulations said you had to throw them out if they weren't sold. And what was about the freshness? So I would do that. The display thing had a door in the front for customers to open it, and a door in the back for me to put crap in it.
And it was a warmer, too, right?
Yeah.
Display case
was
also
lamps. Yeah.
It was a warmer.
And I would take it out the back, still in the thing, and I was literally, because the trash can happened to be right there, so I literally could just take it out, and as soon as it cleared the edge, I could just drop it, and there was a trash can.
Mm-hmm.
Still sealed. I was like, dude, can I eat them? Because they were one of those that's, like, surprisingly expensive. Like, they were kind of little, and they were, like, $2 something.
Mm-hmm.
I was like, really? There's other breakfast stuff you can get for, like, 99 cents. I was like, but I liked them. And I was like, can I eat them? And part of the worry, I think, was that if they say yes to that, then I make extras,
Sure.
But the truth is, they hardly sold at our location. I had to make X number to begin with, and they were there. But the rules were that you couldn't do it.
Sure.
And I was like, but they're fine. So what I would do totally what I was supposed to, but sometimes if I was back there and it was slow and the manager wasn't looking or whatever, I would take one out of the trash, and usually I couldn't even get the whole thing down, so I'd take it out, take a couple bites, close it up, put it back in the trash, and then maybe go back and get it. And this sounds terrible, but here's the thing. The trash at this point is mostly, wax paper that I had to put dough on or, container, something that was part of the packing material inside the box from the freezer box full of flips I got that I had to defrost by running them through the pizza oven. Yes, this is over here. The point is, the trash, there wasn't a lot of goop or smelly stuff in the trash or whatever. It was pretty little trash. And I purposely set them. And they were in a completely sealed thing. So I'm just saying, other than the age, which that Board of Health decided was too much,
mm-hmm.
other than that, they were fine and they were still completely clean. And they were tasty, damn it. So, I guess it wasn't around back then, but I, in some ways, I was one of the founders of the Freegan movement.
Well, I don't have really an opinion about it either way, but I certainly don't begrudge someone the privilege to dig through the garbage and get clean food if they want it. I mean,
like, well, no, you have two things specifically that keep you
from doing it?
From being a freegan, yes.
I've got a lot of things that keep me from doing it.
You've got two. Okay. Here's the thing. If you remove those two, you're totally doing this.
Okay.
Like, I mean, quite literally, you're the poster child for freeganism, except for these two things.
Okay.
One is the obvious one. You have partially self-imposed and partially household-imposed, fairly specific dietary restrictions.
Sure, yeah.
Vegetarian diet. That's the big one.
That's one of them. That's one of them.
That would be a hard way to live if you were like, oh, this cheese is not tofu. Yes, throw it back in the dumpster.
That's true.
And that's totally legit. And that's like, you're also a big fucking germaphobe.
Yes, I am. That's
and so,
a real big one.
Like, you can't see it at home. Some of you, I'm sure, heard my story about the sandwiches and are like, that's fine. And some of you are like, that's stupid. some of you maybe, but William was like, that's really gross, and I'm kind of sorry I know you now.
No, that's not true.
I'm going to vomit if I don't.
Not the sorry I know you part, but the rest of it, yeah, kind of.
If you remove the germophobia and make you not have restricted diet, you would be freegan-ing the shit out of things.
Mm.
You would be king freegan of Iowa City.
Well, but there are other things that you're not.
Enlighten me, please.
Okay. For example, another thing I would feel like it seems like something that poor people would do, and I'm not a poor person. So why would I go do that and take away from someone who might go in there and actually get food that they really need? You see what I'm saying? I'd feel like I was taking away from someone. If anyone's going to do something like that, it seems like it ought to be someone who can't afford to buy food otherwise.
I have my aghast look on people here.
Why are you aghast?
William turned all classist on us. That's something that poor people would do.
That's not what I meant.
That's not what you meant, but it's still hilarious. No, I understand what you meant, and anybody who's not listening to this for the first time does. But here's the thing. In this day and age, most of that food goes to waste. The poor people are not coming in getting it.
I know, but I wouldn't know if a poor person isn't going to come and get it, and I just got it.
So you'd rather waste it on the chance.
Yeah, I would. I'd rather waste it on the chance because I can go buy it, so I should go buy it. And if anything should be done with that food rather than being wasted, it should go to people who need it, and I don't need it. So that's not a solution to the wasting. The solution to the wasting is let's find a way for people who need it to get it. And I wouldn't know if I took it, I wouldn't know if someone is going to come later and take it who needs it more than I do. I wouldn't know that. So, yes, on the chance that someone else could be nourished by this food, I'd sooner risk it go to waste than risk that person not getting nourishment. That person's nourishment is more important to me than whether or not the food gets thrown away.
Even if you end up knowing statistically 98% of the
If there's a 1% chance someone else who's going to get something out of it is going to get it, that's enough for me. Because that person's getting something good and decent to eat is more important to me than the other thing. Also, I have a lot of people, this is one of these things that people think is weird / stupid / insane / offensive about me, is that my moral, the line I draw morally is far away from the gray zone. I mean, I tend, just to be safe, I'm not going to put the line in the gray zone or even at the edge of the gray zone. I'm going to put it way away from the gray zone. So this is close enough to theft to me that I would have some serious issues with it. I, of course, intellectually, I don't really think of it as that, as theft. Yeah. But emotionally, you know, my conscience is going to be working on me there a little bit, saying, you know, this is a little too close to stealing, and I would feel odd about that. So that would kind of help me even more to just say, no, I don't think I want to do that. Yeah. So those are two other things. And I could probably name several more things that would prevent me from doing it, even if those other two things, like the germaphobe thing, wasn't true.
This is interesting. See, I think when people are charitable is not the right word. When people are trying to improve society, when people are genuinely acting for what they perceive to be the good of their society rather than for themselves, like consciously doing it, there's obviously different types, but there's also an axis that one would consider how big a picture.
Okay.
And to give you examples, I would say the extreme end of the close-up picture, or the low picture as opposed to the high picture, is the person who changes all of their habits for themselves and considers that really important. So like the person who will refuse to use electric, who would refuse to buy anything from any corporation that they thought had issues, you know, who is energy self-sufficient and all that stuff, and they insist on doing that, and that's where they're focused, even though realistically that one household doing it isn't changing things for society per se.
But they're doing their part, so...
They are, but when you focus your energy, that's the thing, that's what I'm talking about. There's still a finite amount of energy, and they're focusing it all directed towards their household, which means somebody else who's not necessarily that close-in picture is maybe not doing all of that.
Sure, sure.
But is also doing other things that might have a wider impact.
I see what you're saying, sure.
And I'm not saying one is better than the other. I'm stating what exists.
Yeah.
And this is how you really know. The highest picture I can think of is somebody who runs a large multinational corporation and is convinced that essentially their hiring practices and so forth will help, you know, give these people a good wage and then they'll do well, and that's bettering society. And again, I'm not commenting on whether or not I'm commenting on perspective.
Yeah.
I think I have mapped out a fairly interesting a fairly descriptive perspective.
Scope. It's about scope.
Yes. And I think in my head I tend to see you pretty close to the low picture in general. And this is in terms of what you do. Obviously the people who are, you know, burning dung for their own household are still aware of what's going on in China. But they're not acting with regard to China so much. I think of you as more of that small scale perspective, and then every once in a while I realize you're not where I think you are. You're not where anybody else is either, because you're you. But you're, because part of me views your answer about freeganism that way, as a higher concept issue.
What do you mean?
Because technically speaking, you are letting more food go to waste, and you are causing more food to be in landfills and stuff like that.
Mm-hmm.
Technically speaking, and in the smallest picture possible, one could argue, if you equate concepts here, that you're doing more than harm than good to the society. In your mind, I feel it as you're looking at a slightly bigger picture. And in the bigger picture, even the one individual is more important to you than what goes in the landfill.
Mm-hmm, that's right.
Even though one could argue down the road, the landfill could cause a really big problem to a lot of people. Potentially. I mean, down the road, if we're filling up, you know, we're filling up the planet with
garbage. The landfill problem isn't largely about wasted food. The landfill problem is about all kinds of things. The wasted food aspect of it is just a tiny piece of it.
Well, or you could take other things that wasted food could cause. Because ultimately, if we're wasting less food, then there would be... Potentially, if we're wasting less food, then there's less demand, and so then the restaurant or the grocery store or whatever, it doesn't order as much. That's the dream, that down the road it becomes that.
And the prices can go down.
Exactly.
But see, the homeless person can't afford it, no matter how low the price is. So.
But yeah, I think every once in a while I realize I don't have a full grasp on what level you're at. and that I make assumptions because I feel like I do.
Well, I like to be the think globally, act locally kind of person. Mm-hmm. So, I mean, I try to think globally, but there's only so much you can do.
As time goes on, I find that phrase less and less interesting.
Well, I don't know how interesting it is. Well,
less and less meaningful, less and less effective. What exactly does think globally mean? Let's do that. I'm pretty sure I have a grasp on act locally. What is think locally? Or think globally?
Well, you know, that's a very good question. I mean, for me, it means... I mean, now that you ask that, it's probably not the best term to use. It's just a term people use, you know. And it's a shortcut for whatever you're really trying to say.
And really... And again, this is me attempting to put on my William hat for a second. I think the answer is, and what the message sort of is that the globe, for lack of a better term, is made up of many, many locales. And what we each need to do is to work on ours, and then
right, we'll but do it all. But there's other things too, like you know, globe. When I say think globally, I'm talking about. I'm not just talking about space, I'm talking about time. I'm talking about long-term, you know, I'm talking about sometimes doing the thing that if everybody did it, you know, even if everybody's not doing it, if everybody did it, it would be a good thing. And so, A, you're doing your part. B, you're modeling that behavior for other people. And, but, you know, like you were saying, to just do your thing and not really talk to anybody or interact with anybody or try to encourage other people to do something similar, that's really not enough. I mean, I get email alerts telling me what my legislators are voting, and I sign petitions. Yes, it's been a while since I did. The last time I wrote.
Well, at this point, as near as I can tell, the American public, if they wrote their congressman, would just say, "I hate everything you're doing. Sincerely, concerned."
Well, like, for example, our congressman right now in our district, for the most part, is voting on things the way I would expect or the way I would want. That's not saying very much. That's really not hard because I don't generally like anything that's going on the federal level of government, but... You know, when bills are there, he pretty much votes the way I would want my representative to vote. As far as the Senate goes, we have two senators, and one of them is also usually voting the way I would prefer. But
one of them is leaving.
And the other one often doesn't. Now, that's another thing is the issues that I think are the most important, there really aren't very many. Like net neutrality, for example, is a big one for me. And I happen to know... that one of our senators, he is in the camp that thinks that the internet is just like, you know, undeveloped property outside a town. You know, it's good for your town if you annex that, if you subdivide it, if you zone some of it as commercial. You know, that's good for everybody. It makes jobs, and the internet's the same way. You have to let people with money come in here and develop it. And make some parts more expensive than, you know, which is idiotic and stupid. It shows either he is too old to understand that the internet is not actual real estate, or he's just you know, parroting what a lot of conservative and mostly Republican politicians are saying about the internet, because they're standing up for their the business interests that contribute to their campaigns and whatnot. So I already know how I've written him, and he's told me this, so I already know how he feels about this particular issue, and I'm not going to write him again about it because I know that he's not going to care. But yeah, I sometimes write my representatives, you know, here's the thing. As a lot of people know by now, I'm an anarchist. And
you listen to this podcast.
And a lot of people don't understand what that means. And there are people who are on the left who deal with anarchists more than people on the right do, which I find curious, actually. That's what I'm saying. But it's interesting what people on the left say about anarchists, that, well, they just sit around philosophizing all the time and they don't feel motivated to do anything.
To be fair, this is something you're saying on our podcast about a magical talking hat.
What am I saying about a magical talking hat?
Thank goodness! Open the door. Please open the door.
Oh, yay!
Holy crap. Andrew, where the crap have you been, man?
Oh, I'm in at school.
I know, but, like, and your phone's not working.
Yes. Yeah,
because Joe goes to our gym, and he said, I got this kid I want you to have mow your lawn. I said, we already got a kid, and we talked about it, and we found out it was the same kid. So he gave us your number, and I was like, that's good, because we need the lawn mow. All right, will you grab my wallet?
That's not your wallet?
Don't let him give you crap, though. School is more important.
That is true. School is more important. I'm just saying. All right, give me the wallet.
All right.
Here's what I'm going to do. I'm going to give you $20, but the two things you got to know first. One, you remember that patch where the flowers are?
Mm-hmm.
It don't matter anymore. You mow over it. Okay. She said they're done for the year. And also, do me a favor. Try, and it seems weird, but try and get the mower up along the tree so you get some of the stuff around the tree. Sometimes you just kind of got to drive at an angle. Just do what you can. I mean,
all right.
Whatever. But otherwise, there you go.
But the point is that my mom, she wants me to come back tomorrow because I'm actually got some things to do.
Cool. Give him the money. You come back whenever works.
All right.
We'll be good.
All right. Thank you.
Thank you. I thought I was going to have to do that this weekend.
No.
Yeah. No, no. Yeah, I don't want to do it. He's a good kid.
Yeah, he seems like a good kid.
He's a good kid. He's got sort of troubled past and stuff, and his father's not around for legal reasons.
And apparently he's going to summer school, which...
Yeah, and he's got... Well, because this guy I know at the gym, the gentleman who I always refer to as the chairman, because I make nicknames for people because I don't know, and he was the chairman of the gym because he held court because everybody knows him. Well, we get to know him some, and the other day he's saying, like, I got this kid, I kind of mentor him. He's a good kid, but if he doesn't have anything to do, he hangs out with kids who get him into trouble. He's like, so if you need your lawn mowed, and I said, we got a kid already. And he's like, who'd you got? Because he knew that he lived nearby. And so we started talking about it, and turned out the same kid. So he's good, and had trouble. I don't remember all the details because we didn't know him then. But did you ever read the thing in the paper about the kid who got a gun pulled on him? That crazy man when he was going around, I believe was 10, and he was going around to mow lawns, and the guy pulled a gun on. It was a weird thing where he had been there earlier, and the guy was drunk and said come back, and I did something weird, but he ended up pulling a gun on the kid.
Jeez.
Yeah. But yeah, he's a good kid. Well, which you can tell because I gave him the money for not doing that.
Yeah, thing, yeah.
But I trust him.
Yeah, seems like a good kid.
And also with this kind of stuff, I'm like, you know what? If he doesn't do it, he knows, I know, that'll be the last time it comes
up.
And I'm like, okay, so I paid him one last time for no good reason. I'll live with that. You
know?
Yeah, we have. No, I'm just saying in a hypothetical world, no. But when we gave him money in advance before, we didn't worry about it then either. I mean,
yeah,
I didn't give it to him because I knew we'd done for him. I'm just like, you know, it's fine. And he's a perfectly good kid.
Yeah.
And I love not doing it. Since my surgery, I don't have a damn good excuse anymore. So I love it. It's just another thing. All right. Let's stop talking about that crap King Freegan over there.
Okay.
Tired of you and your Freeganism all the time. Again, okay. God damn it. Another Azertown.
What's wrong with that?
You know what's wrong with that. Near, dissonant, and confused, forest voices have a measure of time. What is your happiest childhood memory, and what makes it so special? You've told about yours before. It was when you were 2 and you were attending your grandfather's funeral, I believe.
What's the question?
What's your happiest childhood
memory? Well, that's not, that's far from my happiest. It's a significant memory.
Well, and that's the thing. I would have a lot of trouble with this question because, and this always freaks me out now when I deal with other kids, you only remember the traumas. Like, I remember things.
Well, I don't know.
And even things that if I tell it to you now, it doesn't sound that bad, but for some reason I was just the right age and the right mindset that it, like, traumatized.
Well, trauma's like that. It's something really horrible won't traumatize you one day, and something that wouldn't bother you any other day is going to be a trauma
as
this
a kid,
day.
It's just too...
Yeah. That's uncertain. Right. That's right.
Because just, I mean, just silly things. My father, because I was kind of scared of insects, he used to tease me in the form of telling insects that were nearby to eat me because I was tasty. Now, here's the deal. He didn't, like, go pick them up and bring them to me. He didn't try and push me to it. Like, they were still across the porch or whatever. And I had moved away from them. And he didn't try and force me back or anything. He just was like, no, go eat him. He's over there. I'm not saying it was a good thing. But I'm like, he didn't do it. Like, and it's not like I thought the spider was going to be like, oh, okay. I was nervous. But tasty, you say? All right. Give me a minute to walk the 12 feet, you know, and I'll take care of this. And yet...
Okay.
Like, to this day, I still remember it as, like, a bother.
I don't think it's true that people only remember the trauma. Surely you remember something happy from your...
But not anything that really sticks with me.
I have a hard time picking a happiest moment because I remember all kinds of happy moments. I don't think that one's happier than another.
Give us one.
Well, you know, I've talked about before how, like, in the spring and fall... You could go out. We had a meadow, and you could go out and it was at whatever time in the spring and fall there weren't a lot of bugs, and the grass was dry, and you could lay down in it, and it smelled so good, and it made, and the wind blowing through it made this great sound, and you could just sort of close your eyes and sort of, you didn't really sleep, you just sort of just existed there, content, you know. That was pretty awesome. I remember that. Snow fall. Or going sledding when you had a snow day or on the weekends was great. Or building tunnels in the snow drifts was awesome. Exploring the woods was fun. You know, opening Christmas gifts on Christmas was always a great thing. Always a fun thing.
I remember the fact that I liked all of those things as well. But I can't remember a specific instance of it and remember, like, that I was happy. The only specific instances I can remember are the ones that, unlike all the others, didn't go well, you know. I remember opening Christmas presents. So I remember that I liked it, but the only two specific times I remember doing it are the time I woke up at 3:45 in the morning before everyone else and opened everything, which sounds cute and everything, but then I woke them up and I felt really bad, and then it was really sad because everybody else opened their stuff and nobody, I didn't get to open anything in front of everyone else. No, it was a thing, you know. Part of
but
that thing, and I was just.
But like, well, one year I there was this thing I wanted really bad because, for the first like 16 years of my life, I wanted to be a doctor. That's what I wanted to be when I grew up. And there was this particular thing, toy that was like a doctor's cart. It had little instruments on it and stuff, and I thought that was so cool. And it's the one thing, you know. We were kind of poor, you know, and you. Somehow, I don't remember when it happened, but at some point when I was really young, I knew that it wasn't really cool to ask for stuff because Mom and Dad felt bad that they couldn't get it for us. You know what I'm saying? So
yeah.
So you just didn't get in the habit of even wanting things because it wasn't that you weren't going to get it, so there was no point. It was that it was such a burden on Mom and Dad, and so you just didn't even want to put them through that.
This is a really happy memory.
Anyway... There weren't a lot of things that I saw in a catalog or in a store that I really wanted and that I would ask them for. In fact, I think this was the only thing I ever really asked for. Like, hey, I really do want this. And I, you know, I told them this on several occasions, and you know, they asked what we wanted for Christmas or whatever, and I told them. And I didn't think that I would get it. I don't know why. But I just thought, well, you know, I asked, and that, but, you know, I'm not going to get that thing. But then that Christmas I did, and that was a pretty big deal, and I was really happy.
Was it a big track?
No, I told you. It was like a doctor's, like, you know.
I know. I was just flashing back to the kitchen.
And my sister was old enough then that she had dolls and stuff, and I could practice the whole doctor thing with the dolls and stuff. It was fun.
Injections?
Yeah, everything. I mean, there was a scalpel, and the weird thing is I knew what all this stuff was, and I must have only been...
You were a creepy child.
I must have only been, let's see, 8 maybe, but yeah, and I got a lot of, one thing we did with it was we took an old army blanket. For some reason, my grandfather had all these blankets from, like, the army and military and stuff, but to my knowledge, he was never in the military, so I don't know where he got them. Probably at army surplus store or something, right?
I would assume.
And
that, or he was a battlefield looter.
No. And we had a couple of them, and we had a clothesline in the backyard, so you could put one on one side and one on the other and make like a tent. And then we put
Did you guys sing Suicide is Painless?
Well, when they put a big cross on each side, and it was like MASH. We were playing MASH in there, and
with your little fake martinis from
the No. The weird thing about that is we watched MASH, and all that stuff went right over my head. The drinking, the sexual innuendo, all that stuff. All that I noted, and even the gore of the war and surgery part. The only thing I picked up on was these were doctors, and they were operating on people. That's all I got out of it. And that's all.
I think I watched just about all of Golden Girls when it was on. And I wasn't a little kid. I mean, I was old enough that Golden Girls was funny to me. I really liked it. And it was only in syndication watching it years later that I realized that that show was almost entirely about sex.
Yeah. So,
I don't know how I missed that.
So, yeah, I just... So, you know, these are...
See, and mine are
I could talk about this kind of stuff all day, and it's all happy memories for me.
Yeah, see, I can't. I can get stuff, and then it... has a sour, because, like, I can also remember the Christmas I got my first pocket knife. That was awesome.
Okay, was there you excited. Go.
Wait.
Oh.
And it gets awesome, then it gets funny, then it gets sad. It was really cool, and I was old enough. Like, my parents got this for me, so clearly they thought I could cope. They all watched. They were like, take out the blade. I took out the blade. It was really cool. Mm. And they're like, run your thumb on it to test it.
And you cut yourself.
And I was like, what? Mm. And they're like, just run your thumb, just lightly, it's fine. I didn't understand, and I didn't really want to, but they were like, no, it's fine. And I didn't know, when you test the blade, you know, you run across,
mm-hmm.
like this, I didn't understand what axis we were working in, so I literally was
right across the...
Yeah, I was running it along the blade.
To cut, like, would cut yourself.
As luck would have it, why is there a car in our driveway? As luck would have it, I was so scared and I did it so lightly it didn't hurt. But everybody watched like, oh my god! But it didn't happen, and that's fine. So this is near the end of the presents, and I said something about, I hope this isn't that year. And Mom said, what do you mean? And I said, never mind. And she's like, no, what are you talking about? And I finally said, the year, well, she did it several times, and I finally yelled, the year I don't get any toys, because I'm finally, you know, old. And Mom got really sad, and I was like, I didn't, but I got this board game, that counts. And she was still kind of upset, and finally I was like, well, you made me say it, and then I cried and ran off, and it was terrible. See, so I just don't, I did not, and that's probably why I remember that.
I remember hardly any, I mean, traumatic experiences, partly because I don't think I had very many, but also because... What's the point of, I mean, you know, it was a bad situation. You probably learned something from it. You move on, you know.
Yeah, I didn't attempt to remember these. I didn't want these to be my primary memory.
Well, I know that. I'm not saying that. What I'm saying is that I'm sure that I had traumatic experiences, and I don't.
Blocked them out.
No, I don't. I'm sure.
Depressed them.
No, I don't think so.
You personally watched the Nazis wipe
out. I don't think. I don't think they. Traumatized me is what I'm saying. I mean, they were bad. I got through them. They didn't leave a scar of any kind.
Good for you.
But
I got quite a few.
Oh, well, okay,
they're
and that's
pretty minor.
That's fine.
I had
but,
one of the best upbringings I know of.
But okay, so that's what I'm trying to get at is I'm not trying to compare my experience to yours and say that it's better. What I'm trying to say is surely there are positive experiences. I mean, you started this conversation by saying you only remember the traumas, which to you don't remember any positive.
I've been sitting here trying to think. I remember stuff that was okay. I remember stuff that now looks cool, but at the time, you know, I didn't care or I didn't. I mean, and there's moments. I think I've talked before about the slumber party outside where me and all the other boys, and there were like six of us, and we were probably like eight, walked way far from home in our PJs.
Wow.
Way far from home because we're going to go to the Circle K and get candy in the middle of the night. I don't even know that we had money. We just thought it'd be cool. And then but we eventually got to the 4-lane highway that we wouldn't have been allowed to cross anyway. And we were too scared, so we went back. And we might not have gotten caught, but in the morning, we were awake before everybody else, and my mom woke up, and she come outside, and she's giving us all orange juice, because we were awake. She's like, I'll get you some juice, and so she comes out. And she said something about, you guys must have been asleep pretty early. You guys were real quiet. We didn't hear anything. And we're eight and idiots, so we're all kind of looking at each other. We're probably like, well, that's because we weren't here for a lot of. And we told her, like, it would not get us all in trouble. And it got us all in trouble.
Okay.
My mom was pretty cool. She was like, oh, that sounds fun. And then she went inside and called everybody's mom.
Okay. And
I guess that's a positive memory.
Well, that's what I'm saying is.
I guess that is good because I don't particularly remember the part about getting punished. I'm sure I did.
Yeah. So getting in trouble didn't ruin how cool that experience was.
Apparently not.
Okay, so there's one. That's good.
All right. So apparently my fondest childhood memory, walking around in my PJs.
No, I'm just saying maybe if we talked about it longer, you'd think of more things.
I'll tell you next week because we're over time.
And maybe you'd also realize that you don't just remember the traumas. You remember all kinds of stuff. Maybe the truth of the matter is, to you, the traumas are more interesting stories. Because I don't think anyone thinks my, you know, childhood contentment sounds interesting
yeah,
or
I
that
don't
makes
really
it interesting.
Like any of your stories,
so. No, that's true.
I don't
but,
like the bad ones either.
No, I get that, but what
whereas
I'm
my stories are always awesome.
What I'm saying is, people might think that my stories about having good experiences in my childhood are boring, but stories about trauma are interesting, and so maybe you only remember the traumas because you think those are the only things that are interesting.
So I cherry-picked the reality TV ad in my brain.
Yeah, kind of.
That's terrible. Anyway.
Well, I don't know if it's terrible. You're a storyteller, so you want to be interesting, so there you go.
We're over time. I need to take a minute to say, I just learned today that late last month, Meshack Taylor died, and I was sad about this.
I'm not sure I know who that is.
Meshack Taylor is mostly known for exactly two things. He was the designer, I forget his name, but the flamboyant designer in the Mannequin films, the sort of mentor character, the magical Negro character, let's be honest. Before that was a big fad, that's what that was. And Anthony Bouvier, the only male in Designing Women.
Oh, I kind of remember him.
And he died from colorectal cancer at, I believe, age 67.
That's sad.
I'm sad. I really liked him. I really liked Designing Women, too, but he was my favorite part of that. And so, the rest of you, when you're done here, take... I don't have to do it. So let's say 2 hours of silence in honor of Meshack Taylor.
Also, watch the new YouTube video that's out, that will be out. It's already out.
Yeah, yeah. Speaking of which, we're going to have to do new ones quick here. We don't want to cap.
We don't.
Well, do we?
I don't know. Okay. We don't. I mean.
Consistent content is literally the only virtue we have.
Right, but. And I suppose we can carry that over into the video thing. That puts a lot of pressure on me.
Why?
Because the closer we get to recording these.
Oh, that's right. It's not just that we have to. We have to tape it. You have to.
Yeah, I have to edit it, and I have to do stuff with it. So that's all right. But it's fine if I have an.
What, number seven?
No, this tonight will be number five.
Oh, okay, we got time.
Yeah, we do have time, but.
Get to it.
but you know, there's gonna be those, there's gonna be those 2 weeks where I'm gone, and
yeah, I won't be able to attend.
I think we might have a gap.
Anyway,
given the time we're gonna have to get together, and
but it's free, people, so stop bitching. Go to the blog, magicaltalkinghead.com. Talk about the stuff there, but stop bitching. No, go ahead and bitch. Really, we could use the traffic.
Yeah, we don't mind.
And go to Facebook and like us. There's not any point, but it'll make us feel better. And watch the YouTube videos. Go to the channel, The Magical Talking Hat.
And share them with people if you like them.
You know what? And I'm going to say, just because we have some nutcases out there, if you are at all interested, or end up, for whatever reason, making a video that you think might be at home on our little channel, send it to us. I'm not promising I'm going to put it up, but I might. The odds are probably better than you would have with actual famous people.
Well, and they can give video responses to the videos that are out there.
Absolutely.
Yeah, they can answer the question and respond.
That's true. Yeah, you could answer the questions in the video and do a response video. Anyway,
that'd be
I'm
great.
Just saying, we love you guys enough that the odds of us putting you on our YouTube channel are higher than most people with YouTube channels.
Well, in the case of responding to the video, we just have to have permission set up for that, which I think we do. And it would be more of an issue of us taking them down than not putting them up, because if we give people permission to videos, that it'll go up if they just respond.
I'm just saying, or if people don't have a channel or don't want to bother to make their own.
No, yeah, okay.
Obviously, sure. Yeah, you can say whatever the fuck you want. go nuts for that.
That'd be fun to have people respond, video responses.
But mostly, go be quiet for 2 hours because of Meshach Taylor, because we're done.
Yet another mystery solved by the hosts of the Magical Talking Hat. Do you have a question that begs to be answered? Then please write the hat at themagicaltalkinghat@gmail.com. That's themagicaltalkinghat@gmail.com. Also, visit the hat at themagicaltalkinghat.com. The music for this episode was provided by Kevin MacLeod of Incompetech.com.